To our visitors, thank you very much for taking time to be with us today. Please open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to be continuing the series we've been doing on parenting. Stephen, I'm using your computer today because I don't have my power plug. Is the mouse? Right.
Okay.
Right. It's pretty low tech when you're not sure how to use a mouse. Before I get into this, let me just mention a little bit about schedule coming up. Just got back last night from, was in Tyngsborough, Massachusetts, up near Boston, doing a workshop there for a large group of young people who came. Jeff and I were up there doing that series, and a lot of fine young people who got up there. Catherine took some of the kids from Philadelphia area up there, and of course the Dreegers were there. Any good opportunity there is going to be at. Some folks from Waynesboro were up, and people from New England, and just it was a good weekend. This weekend I'll be in Harlem doing a series on evidences, and then the next weekend I'll be at Morgantown, West Virginia, doing a series for young people there on Philippians. Each of them just a short thing at the weekend, but I'm glad to be back here this morning. And this is a really, really, really important topic for us individually to think about for ourselves and when we're parenting and training. The mistake of failing to teach and train humility. And let me begin with this text in Proverbs and then begin with kind of some anecdotes. Listen to this from Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, in equity. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So it says in verse 5, let the wise hear. There's another proverb that says that saying something, correcting a wise man in your words does more than 100 stripes to a fool. Another one says, though you take a fool and you grind him with mortar and pestle, you can't get the foolishness out of it. Until we're willing to get the foolishness out, people just don't listen. The wise person has to listen. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, turn away from evil. Pride is a big, 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 big problem. It destroys people. And even when we're little, it can be difficult. Natalie was telling me about a little girl of some friends of theirs and friends of ours, real sweet couple, and beautiful little girl, but she was in trouble the other day because she needed to say she was sorry. And she wouldn't say she was sorry. And so she kept being punished and in trouble because she was sorry. And she didn't want to say she was sorry. And she would come and she would say, Mommy, I want to say that I'm sorry. I really want to say it. But she couldn't bring herself to say it. Now, obviously, We don't have a verbal problem here, you know. And the problem pronouncing the words, I'm sorry. Theoretically, she could discuss what it would sound like. But what did she not want to do? To bring herself to say, I'm sorry. Of course, foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of us as adults lots of times, too. And one of the reasons I want to focus on this is because a number of them, and the theme of this series here is parenting pitfalls, mistakes we want to not make or stop making. This one is one that sometimes thrives in a religious setting or in a family that's decided to dedicate themselves to God. A lot of other sins don't thrive there. A lot of sins, if you take people that are serious about God, they pray together. You know, they learn the scriptures. They take stands for things, etc. You're probably not going to find a meth lab in that home. I didn't say you never will. probably not. There's a lot of sins that are not going to thrive there. But as we mentioned when I told last week that we'd be covering this, think of like where mold likes to grow. You know, and like the crisper drawer there in the fridge. Now, there's some things that are not going to grow. Palm trees are not going to grow inside your refrigerator. But you know what can grow really, really well in the environment of a refrigerator? And pride can do that. And sometimes, whether it's in our own lives, in our own hearts, or other places, you will see people. And I've seen young people end up with just serious issues in their life because their parents were wanting them to do good, promoting them to do good. Oh, look how good they're doing, but not noticing the one thing that they were failing to teach them. That's humility. I've dealt with a lot of young people. I used to be a young person, as some of you used to be. All of you except the old you still are. I've been raising young people. I've dealt with a lot of young people here. I deal with a lot of young people during the summers and different things. And I've had some conversations like one young man who I could see it early on, and say in his mid-teens, and I went to talk to him about it, or maybe mid-late teens, because you could just see the ego problem there. And I talked to him about it. You know what his response was? Well, I'm a teenager. Of course I have an ego. Which only underscores how deep the problem was. A young person one time said, I just like to be the center of attention. Another young person told me about how he just looks at other people, all the other people around him as just being foolish. You know, in so many words. From families that seem to take very, very, very seriously service to God. How does that happen? Well, for one thing, if we don't stop and realize that one of the things you have to train is humility, and another, if we're making things of, oh, I want you to be able to do this. I want you to be. I want my son. I want my daughter. Oh, look how good my. What does that do? That's not training humility. What makes you a priest? I want you, everybody here, think of somebody that you really, really respect. Not that you think is good at something. Think of somebody that you really admire and respect. Are you thinking about an arrogant person? I don't think you are. Are you thinking about a person who serves other people and really gives and cares because they care about other people? That's what we're to do, and that's what we respect. But there's patterns that we can get into from early age. It makes it about how we look. I don't mean just how we look physically, but I mean about like who's Joseph Kennedy, who is the father of JFK, Ted Kennedy, Joseph Jr., et cetera, et cetera. He told his sons, it's not important. He was determined to get one of his sons to be president of the United States, and by a hook or crook, he did. He told them, it's not important what you are. It's important what people think you are. Let's look at some passages here on this subject. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17. Start with verse 16. There are six things the Lord hates. I want to read that again. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. What is the very first thing listed? Haughty eyes, a proud look. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Luke 18, verse 9. Luke sets up this parable with the introductory statement, Jesus spoke this parable to certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Verse 10, two men went up to a temple to pray. This is Jesus' parable here. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I get. The publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I say to you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be humbled. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Look at the Beatitudes. Notice how many of them, the beginning ones, how related they are to humility. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Remember, David said, a broken and a contrite spirit, O God, you will not despise. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn. There's more than one type of mourning. There's godly sorrow that leads to repentance. There's sorrow of this world that leads to death. Godly sorrow involves mourning over what? Godly sorrow involves mourning over what we've done wrong. One of the things that has been just so vivid is, and I was talking with an old friend just this weekend in New England, dealing with someone and dealing with, and it's just the repeated pattern of when we try to blame everyone else. And I'm going to compare it to if I come home from the gym and my socks stink, my clothes stink, I stink, I just smell really, really bad. And I walk into this room, it smells bad in here. And I go over to somebody else's, where somebody else is. Oh, it smells bad over here. Maybe I go over to my neighbor's house. Man, it just smells bad everywhere. I'm not noticing where the problem is. Now, it may be. Maybe my neighbor has bad breath. Maybe there's some moldy cheese on the counter over here. I'm not saying there might not be some problems somewhere else, but what am I missing? And you'll see that You'll see that when people are constantly focusing on everybody else and not thinking about their own sin. I've done it. You've done it. We need to not do that. In the same Sermon on the Mount, what does he say in Matthew 7? What's the easy tendency to do? To be looking at what? What's in somebody else's eye and overlooking what? What's in our own. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. I say through the grace that was given me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. If you walk around just feeling that everybody else is stupid and below you, think soberly. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. The requirement to come to Jesus. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself. There's part of it. Adam and Eve in the garden. Eve's looking at that tree. She's not thinking, oh, I should make a pie out of that for Adam. She's thinking, that looks good. That looks like it would taste good. That would make me want. It's the thing that you can just see it in all, and it's a mindset which is just me first. Me, me, me. I want the best one. I want that. I want Luke 14. I want to go jump in that cheap seat. You know, I'm going to beat that old lady to the, you know, checkout counter. I'm going to just me, 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 me. Jesus said, if you want to come after me, guess who you need to lose? Deny. Deny self. And take up your cross daily. What is a cross? It's something somebody dies on. Who needs to die on my cross? Who needs to die on your cross? That old self. And he says, you got to take up your cross daily. They have a tendency to want to wriggle back to life. And you got to keep nailed to that cross and bear that cross and follow him. Now, from a parenting point of view, we have to look at our children and do a full analysis. What does Proverbs say? Over and over and over, the book of Proverbs says, we haven't looked at them all, but there's a number of verses that basically say this. A wise man will love you when you correct him. A wise man will listen to correction. A wise man will be wiser still. A fool hates correction. A fool hates to be rebuked. A fool hates to be instructed and corrected. Well, just like in chemistry, you can put, you know, a litmus test in and check, you know, things about the property in there and see what it is, there's a test. Now look at your children. We've got to look in the mirror too, because sometimes it's us. And sometimes it'll pop up in that child and sometimes that child, but as a tendency, look at your different children. Does he admit when he's wrong? If he doesn't, you are in the process of raising a fool. If mine aren't, I'm in the process of raising a fool. Guess whose job it is to get it out of them? It's our job. Does he apologize or justify himself? If it's always justifying self and never wants to apologize, what are you raising? You're fixing oatmeal for a fool. You're putting shoes on a fool. Now, you don't have to leave him in that condition. You don't have to leave her in that condition. Does he have an inflated view of self? Does he have a servant's heart? We will sometimes see a mix. We'll say, sometimes I see that. Sometimes I see that. Then what do you need to do? When we're cooking, say, a batch of spaghetti or something, you know, if it doesn't have enough oregano, doesn't have enough salt, what do you do? Well, that's the way it is. That batch of, it's just not. No, you add something to it. It doesn't mean you go, well, there's nothing in there. I'm going to throw it all away. No, you might have some good tomatoes in there, but you got to see what's missing. And then you need to add something and address something. And if something nasty falls in it, get it out. Does he have a servant's heart? One more this morning, and then we'll finish off. Mistake number 15, assuming cultural norms. This happens all the time. It's so interesting. Things that are stated in the Bible, oftentimes people don't understand it until they see it acted out. One of my buddies from Philadelphia, he said, I had never really seen or been around in a family before, an intact family. He said, I grew up, marriage just wasn't part of the concept. It just wasn't. He's, you know, his mom, he said she was a preacher, but she had children through different men, none of which she'd ever married. He said in the ghetto, it just wasn't part of life. Marriage just wasn't. And so it was really interesting to him to get to see, you know, like a family and stuff. I remember in East Europe, you know, it was just things, people would be really intrigued sometimes by things. And when people see something in practice, then they can say, oh, because here's what we do. We're all creatures of habit. If most of us do a thing a certain way, that's just how we do it. You go over to Europe and you will see people do things differently or anywhere else in the world. And they just all do this. And if you do an American thing, sometimes people are like, because that's not the way we do it. We do all sorts of things just a certain way, because that's how it's done around us. So when we're raising children, if we're not thinking, if we're not looking at good examples, if we're not paying attention to principles, we look around us. And we think, well, this is what my parents did. This is what my uncle did. This is what my aunt did. This is what my cousin did. This is what my best friend does. This is what my girlfriend does. That's what my buddy does. And so we just figure what? That's how you do it. Here's the problem with that. What's the expression people use for two-year-olds? You see it up there on the screen, the terrible twos. People say, oh, it's the terrible twos. Man, two can be a fantastic age. Now, if you don't train the child, and if it's a stubborn, you know, kind of independent-minded child or a grumpy child, what are you going to have? You're going to have terrible twos. But if you train that child, guess what you're not going to have? You're not going to have terrible twos. It's going to be beautiful. Rebellious teens. People say, well, you know, teenagers, they're just going to be rebellious. It's just a phase. That's, you know, all teenagers are going to do that. You know, they've got to sow their wild oats. They've got to rebel. It's good for them. Just that's what teenagers do. No. It's not what teenagers have to do. You know what teenagers are supposed to do? They're supposed to do what's right. That's what they're supposed to do. Consider these from the Bible. I don't see it there on the screen, so let me just go ahead and mention it. Josiah, one of the best kings in Judah. He was 8 years old when his father died. When he was 16 years old and the king, he decided to serve God and instituted reforms in Judah. 16. A lot of 16-year-olds feel, oh, I got to do my own thing. He set his heart to serve God, and he had a little bit extra temptation.
He was king.
How do you think most 16-year-olds would act if you just give him the throne? By the way, son, you're king. You know, it's like party time. You know, you can do whatever you want. What he chose to do was serve God at age 16. Timothy, if you look at if the assumptions are correct that after Paul's imprisonment mentioned at the book of Acts, if he's released after that and writes 1 Timothy and then later arrested again and writes 2 Timothy, notice what he says in 1 Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 to Timothy. He said, don't let anybody despise your youth. If our dating is correct, that's in the 60s when he said, don't let anybody despise your youth. Paul picked him up when he went through Derby there in the late 40s. If Timothy was a youth in the 60s, what was he in the late 40s? He could have easily been a teenager. And yet, Paul, when he went through, this fellow, Acts chapter 16 says, was well reported, well reputed among the brethren. But if we assume, well, you know, she's two, she's going to be terrible. Well, he's a teenager, he's going to be rebellious. That is typical and common when, I'll tell you, we've given you this analogy before, but use it again. What's typical of a garden if you don't weed it? So if we are not training up a child in the way they should go, Proverbs chapter 22, if we are not raising them in nurture and admonition of the Lord, then you can expect terrible twos, you can expect rebellious teenagers, and then you will get, almost always, ungodly adults. Why should we expect that accepting cultural norms in the early years will get something different than the cultural norm for the later years? Now, that's not to say that they don't have the option. Many people in this room grew up in a situation where people were not training them in the word as they should when they were young. And then when you were older and as an adult, you decided to deny self. You decided to follow Jesus Christ. You decided to humble yourselves before God. And our children can do that too. But why put them at the disadvantage of training them wrong so that they have to break all those bad habits to come out of it? You know what some people can do? Some people that never went to school can, when they're 35 years old, learn how to read. And then they can start taking online courses and they can get a bachelor's degree or whatever when they're in their 40s. They can do that and good for them. But does that mean that when you have a child, you're going to say, I'm not going to teach them how to read. They can do that later if they want to. They can do that later. No, you're not going to do that. Some people, after having been raised in a real unhealthy situation, food-wise, diet-wise, nutrition-wise and stuff, or lack of exercise, may grow up and be morbidly obese. And you know what they can choose to do as an adult? They can choose to change the way they eat, and they can choose to exercise, and they can lose that and get more healthy. But why would you, as a baby, say, well, I'm not going to feed him anything but ice cream and candy? Because after all, when he's 40, he can decide to change. Let's give our children the head start that we're supposed to give our children. There was Joseph, and there's those passages. Jonadab, I like in Jeremiah chapter 23, because God just used him as an instructor. He had some rules for his family. They weren't rules for all of Israel, but they had some rules for their family, and his children respected those rules. They said, this is what our father Jonadab taught us. These are grown men, but they remembered and valued what their parents taught them. Do you remember and value things that your parents taught you? Most every one of us can remember some things invaluable that our parents taught us. Most of us can also think of something, well, yeah, you know, as we say, would have done that different. I don't think any of us were raised by the perfect parent. We will not be the perfect parent either. If we can impart good to our children, and if we didn't have something tuned well enough or solved well enough, if they are committed to serving God, then they can take the things that we did the best, see where we needed some, you know, didn't have as much wisdom, and they can adjust that and do better yet. And that is a beautiful thing. Expect, train, and guide. We'll close with Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Not ignore your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look out the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of grinding is low, and one arises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid of what is high. Terrors are in the way. The almond tree white blossoms. The grasshopper drags along. Desire fails because man is going to his eternal home and the mourners go about in the street. Before the silver cord is snapped or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Drop down to the last verse. The end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God. Keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, and with every secret thing, whether good or evil. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as you stand and sing?